Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Pei Beis. Begin on the bottom of Pei Aleph and Beis, three lines up at the bottom of the Yamad. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, where we had a machlekes in our Mishnah. We're talking about in this parak the halacha of Eisei Ves Benoi, the prohibition of slaughtering a parent, a mother, and its child animal on the same day. However, our Mishnah said that that has to be a slaughtering. And the question was regarding what qualifies a slaughtering. The Chacham say, if it's a slaughtering, but there's some other invalidation because it's Fabi the Zara, or you find that it's a Trefa, you still slaughtered it, and therefore that would still be a violation of Eisei Ves Benoi. Whereas Reb Shimon's opinion is that Shechita She'en Ruya Lo Yishma Shechita. If it's not considered something that's permitting one to eat it to have benefit from it, it's not considered, quote, a Shechita, and therefore one would not even be violating the Isser of slaughtering Eisei Ves Benoi. Now, one of the cases was a para aduma, what's called paras chatas. If someone slaughters a para aduma is not for consumption purposes, so therefore it's not a shechita ruya, and therefore it said Reb Shimon in the Mishnah that one is going to be exempt from Eisei Ves Benoi. And that is the Gemara, u paras chatas shechita shein ruya. Is that really so when someone slaughters the para aduma that that's not a slaughtering that would make it permitted for a person to eat that meat? But Vatanya, learn the Braisa, Shimon Aimer, he says, para mitama tumasei chalan. The para aduma could contract, when it's slaughtered, a tumah of food items. Now, the novelty in this halacha is that although Reb Shimon says in the first parak of Masechtas Becharis of Tesma Beis that isuri hanoah, things that are forbidden to have benefit from them, like for example the shor haniskal, an ox that has to be stoned, or the petach hamor, which has to be decapitated, that they do not contract tumas eichlin, even though they're as a food item right now because they're forbidden to have benefit from it, and he learns that from the pasuk mikol eichel asher yo'ochel, which talks about the halachas of tumas eichlin, it's only a food item that could be eaten, at least by someone, even by a non-Jew, that's called an eichel. But someone that's forbidden to have benefit from it, it's not going to contract the tumah of a cholim, because it's not a food item. And that's what the Braisa is telling us, that Reb Shimon agrees by the par duma, that it could be mekabel tumas eichlin to make other things tameh. Why? Says the Braisa, since it had an opportune time, even for the person himself to eat it, from when the par duma was slaughtered. Now, when does it have an opportune time? When you're slaughtering it, so then you're doing it as part of the avodah of the paraduma, which the paraduma is forbidden to have benefit from it. So on that says the Gemara Tav of Pei Bezim and Aleph, because of Amr Bishim Malakish, he qualified and he says, I'm Hari Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon would say, para niftis, the paraduma could be redeemed if you find a better one than it, even al gabe marachasa, even on the place where it's slaughtered according to its appropriate halachas, the certain parameters, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Par in the third parag, exactly on wood, where it has to be slaughtered, in what area. On that says Rish Lakish, Reb Shimon held, that even then when it's slaughtered, it could be redeemed, technically, if you would find a better one than it. Now, more of Reb Shimon holds the halacha, what's called kala'imid, whatever is able to be, then it's like it was. In this context, since it could be redeemed, it's like it was redeemed. And if at that moment, when it's slaughtered, it could be redeemed. So it's like as if it is redeemed. So that's a food item that can be eaten, because since it was slaughtered, and it's not going to be used as a paraduma, it can be eaten at that time. So therefore, that's why he says that it can be mekabel tumas eichalim. Now, if one would ask, why would we need to even say this idea that the paraduma could have tumas eichalim? What do you mean? As the Mishnah Masechtas Par describes, that it itself has a severe tumah that contaminates, as the Pasuk talks about, the person and the garments that actually are involved in the procedure of the paraduma. So why would it even need tumah seichel? And it has its own intrinsic tumah to like contract tumah from something else. So the Gemara increases, and the Chafav Amad Beis explains similarly, that for example, let's say you have a piece of the meat of the paraduma, which is covered with dough that's less the size of a kebaya, which is the minimum of tumas eichelin, the size of an egg. So if we're considering it as an eichel, so then it could combine with the dough, and then the dough could contract tumah if something tummy touches it, which would then be mitami other food items. But if you don't consider the paraduma meat as an eichel, even though yes, it has its own tumah, but then the dough is not going to contract tumah, because only a person and garments that become tumah from the paraduma, because the dough itself does not have the requisite shear, and it's not combining with the paraduma meat, because the paraduma meat you're not considering as an eichel, and therefore when it touches other things, they're going to be tar, because those things didn't touch the paraduma meat inside, only touched the dough. So that would be the relevancy of saying that it has tumas eichelin. But one thing we see is that he holds that it does have tumas eichelin. How is that possible? As we're explaining, because at the moment of slaughtering, technically it could be redeemed, and therefore we consider it as if it's redeemed, and then it could be eaten by a person. So it could be tumas eichelin. So then it's a shechita ruya. So then it obviously is permitting. Says the Gemara, I'm Reb Shem Bar Abba, I'm Reb Yechanan, you're right, Paras Chatas ain't the Mishnah. That this halacha, one of the cases in the Mishnah regarding Avashechet Paras Chatas, regarding slaughtering the Paraduma that's considered Shechita She'inavri, and therefore one would not be violating Oizim Ez Benai, is actually not supposed to be in the text of our Mishnais, and it's incorrect, because actually, according to Reb Shimon, it actually is considered a Shechita Ruya, as we just described. Now the Gemara is similarly on another case of the Mishnah. Ve'egla Rufa Lav Shechita Ruyahi. One of the cases was the decapitated calf, which is when you find a dead person between cities, you don't know who killed him. So you have to take the calf and you decapitate it in the valley. Now, on that, Reb Shimon said, oh, that's also Bahanoah, that's not a Shechita Ruya, and if someone would slaughter the mother and the child, and one of them is the Egel Arufa, you wouldn't be violating the Halach Baisez Benay. On that, it's not a Shechita Ruya, but what's not? In the Mishnah Masech the Saita, and the creases, that says nimtza ha'hayrig actually ta'arav ha'egla. If you find the real murderer, right? We only bring the egla ruva because we don't know who murdered this person. If you find the murderer before the calf was decapitated, says the Mishnah, okay, so teitze b'tir be'eder. So then you could have this calf leave and go out and graze with the flock like all other unconsecrated animals because it doesn't have to be brought. But one thing we see is that as long as you find the murderer before it was decapitated, it's going to be permitted. So obviously it's not prohibited when it's still alive. So then the question is, so when you're slaughtering the animal, which is obviously before it's decapitated, then it should be permitted. It should be Shechita Ruya, because it wasn't forbidden as the, quote, Egla Arufa. The Egla Arufa is only when it's actually decapitated. And that's why if you find the murder before it's decapitated, so nothing, no, it was never prohibited with any status yet. So why are we calling it Shechita Sheina Ruya? He says, you're right, Egla Rufa Eina Mishnah. You're right, that also shouldn't be in the text of a Mishnah, because it is a Shechita Ruya, because it wasn't forbidden when you were slaughtering it, and that is permitting the meat. On that, as the Gemara, Umiyom Rabbiyane Hachi, this statement was said from Rish Lakish in the name of Rabbiyane. On that, as the Gemara, did Rabbiyane really say this, that you're right, this can't be in the text of the Mishnah, because you're right that the Egla Rufa only becomes forbidden when it's actually decapitated and slaughtering is before that? But Vam Rabbiyane had said that it's brought in Kedushin and increases. That he says, Gavul Shemati, but he says, I heard a boundary. For when is it that the Egla Rufa becomes forbidden as the Egla Rufa, which is something that's Asabana, as the Gemara elsewhere learns. But Vishachti, I forgot exactly what was that line. But Benazvin Chavrai Loimer, but the colleagues, those in the yeshiva students, they said, Yiridasul Anachal Esen Asrasa. It's the descending into that valley where it is decapitated. At that point, it becomes forbidden as the Egla Rufa. That says the Gemara, but Vemisus, if that's the case, Lishani, so why didn't Rabbiyane answer that, no, you don't have to erase that case of Egla Ruf in our Mishnah? He could have said very simply, Kan, Kaiden Yerida, in the Mishnah Masech Desaita, which we asked the question from, that's coming before goes into the Nachal Esen. If you find the murder before that, that's when you could go ahead and let it go graze in the field. But Kan, Lach Yerida, and they could have said that our Mishnah, that says it's a Shechita She'ena Ruya, is because it already went to the Nachal Esen. And that's why, yes, it's going to be a Shechita She'ena Ruya, because it's already forbidden. Why do you have to say that ain't the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, you're right, Omer Pinchas Bered of Ami, Anan, Mishmei Reb Shimon Melokish Mesnein La. You're right. Originally the Gemara had said it was Rish Lakish in the name of Reb Yanai. So that says Reb Pinchas Bered of Ami. He says, no, you're right. We only learned this saying that it's not a Mishnah. We only learned it from Rish Lakish, not in the name of Reb Yanai. That Egla Rufa in the Mishnah, because Rish Lakish does not agree to that context of Reb Yanai, that it's Yiridas L'Nachal Esan. He holds it only forbidden when it's actually decapitated, and therefore, you're right, the Shechita should be a Shechita Ruya, and therefore it should not be in the Halacha of our Mishnah. However, the Gemara continues to ask, Amr Vashi says, Kavina Be'er Papi, when we're in the Yeshiva of Papi, Kashlon, we asked, Miyam Reb Shimon Lakish Achi? Did Rish Lakish say this even? We took out Reb Yanai, but did Rish Lakish even say this? That it's in the Mishnah? But we learned the following machloikis. Tzipayra Mitzayra, the birds of the Mitzayra, which the Gemara in Kedushin, Dafna Dvavim Mabeis, says that those birds that the Mitzayra brings in this purification process, they're forbidden to have benefit from them. So on that they said, Meimasei Nesaran, from when do they become forbidden? Shabbat Yechin Amri says, Mishah Shechita. It's from the moment of the slaughtering. There's two birds. One of them is slaughtered, one of them is sent away. So from the time of when that one bird is slaughtered, then that bird becomes forbidden. But the one that's sent away was always permitted. As the Pasuk says, Mirkiya Dalad, Vashilicha Tzitzi Bachai, the living bird you send away, and Rabbi Yechon holds the Torah is not going to tell you to send away a bird that's forbidden, that might be a stumbling block for someone who might find that bird. So Rabbi Yechon says that even the one that's forbidden only becomes forbidden when it's slaughtered. But Rabbi Shimon Lakish, he says, no, Mishas Lekicha. Actually, when you buy both of those birds, at that point, both of those birds are forbidden. Until you send away that bird, that's when that other bird is permitted. But the prohibition starts when you buy them. And Mamrina, we said, my time the Rebbe Shimon ben Lakish. What's the reason for his opinion? Is because Gamar Kicha Kicha Me'egla Rufi learns at Gzeira Shava, where it says, buying by the Tzipar Mitzar, and says, buying by the Egla Rufa. Just like by the Egla Rufa, it says, Kicha, like it says in Devarim Chafalav, the Lokhu Ziknea Ir Hahi Eglas Bakr. And there it becomes forbidden when it's still alive. That's the point of the Gemara's question. So too, when it says, Me'yuki Yadal, the Lokach Limitar Shtei Tziparim Chayas, there the birds are also going to be forbidden when they're still alive. Now, however, they are a little bit different. By the Egla Rufa, there's a certain boundary to say when it will become forbidden, which is when it goes down to the Nachal Esan, to the valley where it's decapitated. But here, by these birds, there's no other action from when you buy it until it's slaughtered. And since we're saying that we're learning from the Egla Rufa, it becomes forbidden when it's still alive, that's where Shlakish says, okay, so that's going to be a definitive point, which is when you go ahead and you buy it. But one thing we see that according to Shlakish, it becomes Aser, the Egla Rufa, when it's still alive. So then you're back to the question we said before. So even still alive, so why couldn't he say that, yeah, our mission is a shechita shein eruya because it's forbidden before you slaughtered, even when it's still alive? So Ella rather says the Gemara, you're right. The answer that we were saying that the case of Egla Rufa and our mission is Eina Mishnah was not Rish Lakish either. Rather, Amr B'chiyah Barabba, Amr B'yechanan, who he disputes Rish Lakish in the previous halacha, Egla Rufa Eina Mishnah. It was him who said that he didn't agree. He held that it only becomes forbidden once it's decapitated. So therefore, how could you say Egla Rufa in the Mishnah? How could you say Egla Rufa is Shechita Shein Eruya? It's a Shechita Eruya. It's not forbidden yet. And therefore, it was him who said that you're right, that's in the Mishnah. But according to Rish Lakish, you're right, it becomes forbidden when it's still alive. Now, although we brought the Mishnah Masechta Sota that says Teitz Evitir Be'eder, which sounds like that it's not forbidden when it's still alive as long as it wasn't decapitated yet. So the Gemara Kriya asked that and says that's Machlokes Tanoim. Now, continuing on the theme of this parak regarding the Issa of Oitzav Es Benai, says in the Mishnah, Shnayim Shalokhu Par Benav. Two people bought. One bought the mother and one bought the child. So says the Mishnah, Eza Shalokhu Rishon Nishchat Rishon. That the prohibition would apply even to two different people too. Whoever it is cannot slaughter the second animal. The one who bought first, he gets to slaughter first. Vim Kadam Hashem Yizachah. But if the second one goes and slaughters first, he merited, he gets to eat it today. And obviously the other one would have to wait till the following day. Now, Amr of Yosef, he says, this that the Mishnah taught, that the one who buys first, slaughters first, that's not in what's called prohibitory law, what's called Issa V'Heter. Because if they want to, if the second wants to slaughter first, and the first one will wait till tomorrow, they're allowed to do that. Rather, it's L'in Yedina Tanan. It's regarding monetary law that we're discussing, that the law is if they come to court, and one of them wants to slaughter, and the other one wants to say, well, I needed more than you today. So we tell them, the one who bought first, he could slaughter, because it was with that intention, and with that understanding that he bought, because had the owner not sold the second one to that second person, they would have held it onto himself, then the consumer would have been able to slaughter that day. As the Tosefta teaches in Parakeh, that whoever buys from the owner, he actually gets rights before the owner, because it was with that intention that he was the consumer, that he gets to go ahead and use it today. So the second one came after that, so therefore he doesn't have the rights. And it was regarding that we said. However, Tanu learned the Brayis, as we said in the Mishnah, Im Kadam Hasheni, if the second one went first, Hariz is Zariz of a Nisker, so he was quick and he gains. What does that mean? Zariz, he considers he has the attribute of alacrity to Le'abedi Sura, where he didn't do a prohibition, meaning he went quickly to do it so that he knows he definitely did it first and he's not doing the Isra of Eisav Es Benai, which is the second one. And Veniskar, and he gains, what's the gain? The Ka'achal Bisra, that today he's able to eat the meat and he doesn't have to wait till tomorrow. Now the Mishnah says, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, Shachad Para Va'ach Kach Shnei Benau. Let's say someone slaughters the cow, and then slaughters the two children of the cow. So sevik shmeinim. So for each one of those children, you're violating separate times. Oisav es benai, because you already slaughtered oisav, now you're slaughtering benai, and now you're slaughtering again benai. So therefore, it's two different violations. So sevik shmeinim, so it gets 80 lashes, two sets of violations. Let's say shachet shnei benel va'achkach shchata. But let's say the person first slaughtered the two children, and then with one action slaughtered the mother. So then Sefik gets Arbam. Then he only gets 40 lashes because here there's only one act of prohibition that's being committed, although it's a mother of two children, and therefore it's only going to get one set of lashes of Eisav Es Benai. The Gemara is going to learn that. How do we know that it's not only Eisav Es Benai, which sounds like the order of the mother and then the child, that it's even Benai v'Eisav, that Yosef Michaib, that even if you did the children first and the mother, that would also be the violation of Eisav Es Benai. Continues the Mishnah, let's say Shchata. And then they slaughtered the mother, the animal. That's Bita and its daughter. And then the Ezbaz Bita. And then its daughter's daughter. So you're really having two Eisav Ezbenais. The mother and the child. And then again, the mother and its child. So Sevik Shemayim, so you get 80 lashes. Let's say, Shchata the Ezbaz Bita. Let's say they first slaughtered the mother and then its granddaughter. So far, no violation was done. You didn't have a mother and a child yet. And then he slaughtered the daughter, the middle, that sandwich generation. Now, in this slaughtering, there's two prohibitions. There's the Eisav Ezbenoi of the mother and the child, and then you have the one because its daughter was already slaughtered beforehand. So, and that says the Tanakama, Sefik is Rabban. There's still going to be only one set of lashes because it was one negative prohibition with one warning and one action. So you get one set of lashes. But Sumchas Emim Shemre Meir, he says, no, Sefik Shmainim, you get 80 lashes, and the reason for Sumchas will be explained in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara asks, as we alluded to this question, Amai. Why in the second case that we described in the Mishnah, that when you slaughter the children first and then the mother, that then you're going to have the lashes of Eisav Ezbenoi, but Eisav Ezbenoi, Merachman, you read the pasuk, it says, it and its child, v'loi benoi v'eisav, but not its child and it, that shouldn't get any lashes at all. Says the Gemara, loisav g'dayatach, you can't entertain to say that that would be an exemption. Because the Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, says in the pasuk, Eisav Ezbenoi, him and his child, say, only elo Eisav Ezbenoi, I would only know that order, the parent and the child. How do we know that if you do it and its mother, that will also be in the Isser? Says the Baisa Kishu Aimu, when the Pasuk says, Lo Sishchatu, you should not slaughter them. That's what the end of that Pasuk says in Mirkachav Beis. Well, that's in the plural. Harikan Shnayim. That sounds like you're warning both of them, both the one that's slaughtering the mother and the one that's slaughtering the daughter. Now, how could that be? The Isser is only the second one that's being done, not the first one. So you would only have it to have two violations only in the following case. When there's three animals, so then, Haketzad, what would the case be? It would be slaughtering the daughter, then the mother, and then the granddaughter. Now, as Rashi explains, because if you would think to say that, let's say it's some of the other cases that we described before, let's say slaughtering the mother and then there's two children, why would I need a pasuk to say that then there's more than one person violating? Obviously, what would make a difference if you're slaughtering one child or two children? Each one is a separate violation. Of course, you would be chayev. And if we'd be talking about slaughtering the cow, then its daughter, then its granddaughter, well, obviously, each one is a separate violation of Eisav Ezbenoi. Rather, obviously, what the pasuk is coming to be mechadesh over here by saying, Lo Sishchatu, is in the following case. Echad HaShechet HaSapar, someone slaughters the cow. And then the Echad HaShechet HaSima, and then someone slaughters its mother. So you see, it could even go, not only Eisav Ezbenoi, but even Benoi Be'ez Imoi. And then the Echad HaShechet HaSbena, then someone slaughters its child. Shnayim achrayim chayavim. That's the pasuk teaching that the two second ones are going to be violating, and that's what tells you that it's not only oisav es benoi, but even benoi and oisav, you're going to be chayiv. That's what the plural of leisishchatu is coming to tell you. Leisishchatu of the mother and the child. Which mother and the child? Not when there's two. When there's three, you slaughter the first one, and there's on the oisav es benoi, on the mother and then the child. Yeah, that you can mechayev because each one is separate Eisav Ezbenoi, because again, it's not only the order of first Eisav Ezbenoi, but even Benoi and then Eisai, and then obviously also its child. That's when you'll have Leisishcha to violating two in this halacha. Now, the Gemara continues on the base and asks, but Haim Abayla the Gufe, how could you extrapolate a Jerush from this pasuk? But you need Leisishcha to say the actual Isser. It doesn't say anything. You read the pasuk, it says, an ox and a sheep, it and a child, Leisishcha to be Yemecha, don't slaughter one day. So you need it just to teach the halacha itself. Says the Gemara, but imkain lichtav leisishchat, but then it should have said in the singular, don't slaughter. My leisishchat too, don't, that they shouldn't slaughter. Sounds like it's coming to teach two different violations, which again would only be in the case that we described, which again, you couldn't say that it's to say it, its daughter and its granddaughter, because that's obvious. It would obviously be teaching the case, which is including even benoi va'isai. But on that, as the Gemara, but akadim v'ilei. But even the plural you still need. Because the Ikas Rachman Lois Sishchat, had it said in the singular, Havimina Chad in Trei Lai, I would have thought only if one person slaughters both the parent and the child. But two not. If one would slaughter the mother and one would slaughter the daughter, then I would say that even the second one would be exempt. And that's what Kasar Rachman Lois Sishchat do. That's why you have to tell me that they shouldn't slaughter the fellow Trei, that even if it's two people, it doesn't make a difference. The second one to do it's going to be violating. So how could you say that it's extra to teach that you're going to have two violations, even if it's Benoi and then Oisai? That's the Gemara, because imkein lichtev lo yishachetu. You're right. It has to teach us, it's not only if it's one person slaughtering, even if two people are slaughtering. But if that was what it was coming to tell us, it should have said that they shouldn't be slaughtered. which is going under two animals, and then that wouldn't be differentiating between if it's one person or two people. It's just saying the animal shouldn't be slaughtered. My loy sishchatu, what's it saying that they shouldn't slaughter, which sounds like that both of them are doing this ister or vice versa benoi. What do I mean both are doing this? Only the second one's doing this. Ashma, I'm going to tar to you because obviously it's teaching us both halachas. Yes, one is that it's even if it's slaughtered by two people. But additionally, is that both people are going to be violating. How is that possible? It's possible if you slaughter an animal, then its mother, and then its child, which is the grandchild of the second one, and that would be teaching that halacha that it's not only oisei ves benoi, but even benoi ve oisei. Now the Mishnah said, shachata ves basbita v'chulu. The case was that if they slaughtered the animal, then the grandchild, which wasn't Issa yet, and then the middle one, the child of the first one. So now we said, machlekes in the Mishnah, if there's going to be one set of lashes or two sets of lashes. So now that I'm laying by the Rav Yesu, he says, my time of the simchas, what's the reason of simchas that says you're going to get 80 lashes, two sets of lashes, for that one action of slaughtering that middle generation of that animal after the mother and the grandchild? So the Gemara explains the question. Kasava simchas, is that simchas holds? Someone eats two olive-sized pieces of fats, which is the classic example being given for someone violating an isser. Behelam echad, one lapse of awareness, meaning that he didn't know that he was violating anything. He made a mistake. He didn't know. Sitting down to a meal is a large portion of chicken, and there's these fats, and he's eating these fats, and he eats one olive-sized piece, and then a few minutes later he eats another olive-sized piece. Now, in the whole interim, he doesn't know. And later he finds out that it was chela. So generally the halacha is that since it was in one lapse of awareness, it's considered one act of issur, you'd be liable for one chatas. So Abai is entertained to say, is it as simchas holds chayiv shtei chatois? That if you ate two olive-sized pieces, you'd be chayiv for two karban chatas. You ate three, four. For every olive size, you'd be chayiv another karban chatas. Now, since that would be the case, so that would be the parallel in our halacha that same thing is when you get one warning and one violation. If you're doing it deliberate, then you'll get two sets of lashes. And that would be the case in our halacha too, where although that it was one animal, but since it was two different olive-sized pieces, so to speak, there was the grandmother, which was its mother, and its child, which was the granddaughter, so therefore, that's two chatois. Now, ubedinu deleshmin ba'alma. Now the truth is, if that was really what Simchas' opinion was, he should teach us this halacha even when it's not two separate animals, like in this case where it's only two violations of Eisav Es Benoi because of its mother and of its daughter. But the truth is, he could have said even when it's really one element, like just one glob of fat, and he's just eating two olive-sized pieces, that even that already, if he was warned, he would get a new set of lashes. Now, why do you say it specifically in the halacha that we're discussing in our Mishnah? It's because lohidiyacha koicha derabanan. It's actually teaching the strength of his disputants, the rabbanan, the avagav deguf and mechalakin. That even though they are considered really in a sense, like two different things, because if it's really two different things, everyone agrees that you're going to violate and be liable for two sets of lashes. Here, in a sense, it's like two different elements because this one act to be liable is only really meaning to be liable to is because of two separate elements, one of its mother and one of its daughter. And that's what would create the two sets of lashes. That's what we're saying. That's still Patri Rabban. Rabban say, no, you only chayv one because you did one act with one, this slaughtering this one cow, although it's a combination of two different cows, its mother and its daughter, but it's one oisav es benoi, you only chayv one. And that's why Simcha said in this case, but really he holds that even in not guf mechalakin, even if it's the same thing, like one chaylev and whatever it is, you'd be chayev for many chatois, and so too when you do it b'mezid, many lashes. Oidemo, maybe, no. Ksava simchas holds, as generally the halach is accepted. Achal shnei zesi chaylev mehalem echad in the chayev alachas. No, if someone was eating a whole glob of fats, and he did it one lapse of awareness, so that's one mistake, he's chayev only one karmachatas. And same thing would apply to lashes too. If it's one activity, one act, and they had warned him, don't do it, but he kept on eating, so that would be make him liable for only one set of lashes. But here, the reason is that he holds his 80, two sets of lashes, is halva gufa mechalakin. Because since they're different bodies, it's not just one act that he's doing. In a sense, it's really there's two different elements here. When he's slaughtering this middle child, this middle generation, it was a combination of Isav Es Benoi's mother and Isav Es Benoi's daughter, so it's gufa mechalakin, it's the grandmother and the granddaughter, so that's why you'd be chayiv too. Now, either way, actually, from this question that the Gemara is asking, Simchas doesn't just disagree in this case of the Seif of the Mishnah, he also disagrees in the Reisha. The Reisha said that if someone slaughters the two children and then the mother, the Tanakhama said you're going to get 40 lashes. Rashi explains Simchas would hold that you're going to get 80 lashes, as is brought into the Tosefta. That if someone slaughters the five sons and then the mother, Simchas says in the name of Rameh, you're going to be liable for five sets of lashes, because again, he holds, at least, that in this case, where it's Gufa Mechulakin, that you're going to get, for all those five children, when you slaughter the mother, a combination of five Yisum of Isra's Benai. Our question is, does he say even more? Does he say it even when there's not Gufa Mechulakin? Like when it's one thing, like one element, like Chalab, that would he even hold over there that the halacha is that you can get separate chatois for each ksayis, and this case would be chayv separate malkis for each shear of the isra that he's doing. So Amalei, Rav Yisuf said, "Tabai in yes, ksava achol shnei zeis chilim mehelam echad chayv shtei chatois." He holds that if you eat two olive sizes of forbidden fats and one lapse of awareness, for each zayis you chayv another karmachadus, and that's the basis for his opinion. Our Mishnah, where of course each thing is considered a separate iser, and then you can be chayiv another set of lashes. Well, that's his abuse of Mimayan. How do I know this? Mititnan, which is actually a brisa. Hazareya climb. Someone planting forbidden mixtures of plants, and he does it again, because climb sounds like that he planted, and then he planted again. So says the brisa, like, says he's going to get lashes. So the Gemara explains Rav Yosef. My Leika, what does this Braisa mean when it says he's going to get lashes? Ilim Leika Achas, if it means that he's going to get one set of lashes, so Pshita. Obviously, what's the Braisa even teaching? We know that when you plant forbidden mixtures of Pasuk in the Torah, that you're going to get lashes. Though, moreover, then, how would you read the Braisa? My climb. What is it saying? He planted climb, and it says the word climb again. Which, that sounds like that he's planting two times, but you're already liable for one set of lashes, if that's what like it means, by planting one time. Why would you have to say climb a second time? Rather, it's obvious. We're talking about, what's he going to get lashes for? He's going to get lashes for two sets of lashes, for the two climb that he planted. Now, but my skin, what's the case talking about? If it's talking about that he planted consecutively, one after the other, and each time he planted, he got a separate warning, and that's what's saying he gets two sets of lashes. Well, Tanina, that we know. What would the Braisa be teaching us? That's the Mishnah Masechtas Makkos. The Mishnah teaches, Nazir Shayashayse Yayin Kalayim. A Nazir has certain prohibitions on him. One of them is he's not allowed to partake and consume and imbibe wine. So, a Nazir that was in violation, that drinking wine the whole day. So, Allah is in the Chayv Al-Achas. If they warned him in the beginning of the day, he's only liable for one violation of that because of that one warning. But if Amr loy al tish tabu shayse, but if they tell him don't drink and he drinks, and again they tell him al tish tabu shayse, tell him don't drink and he drinks, so chayv al kolach tzvachas for each warning, that creates a new violation to be liable for a separate set of lashes for that warning. So already know that halachas. What's the brisa teaching us? El pshita bevasachas. Rather, it's obvious that the brisa is telling us that it was done at one time. Meaning, in one hand he had a wheat kernel with a grape seed, and the other hand he had a barley corn with a grape seed. And which each one is a forbidden mixture of planting. Ubasra achas, and it was with one warning. And it was done at one time. He's about to plant with his two hands, and they said, don't do that, that's klayim, and he does it. So it says the Gemara Samani. So who's the Tana of the Braisa? If it's the Rabban who disagreed with Simchas Nar Mishnah, and they're going to say that in this case, you can be chayiv for two sets of lashes, well, how could you say that? If in the halacha of our Mishnah, which in a sense, like we said, it's two different bodies. When you're doing this last slaughtering, you already slaughtered its mother and its daughter, and still the Rabban say you're going to be exempt from two sets of lashes. They say only chayav for one. So hachalikoshkin, here isn't all the more so where it's not even considered guf mechalakin. You don't consider different barley corn than a wheat kernel as a different guf. Of course, when you're doing one act at one time from one warning, you only chayav one. How can you say that you be chayav two? El alav sumchas, isn't it obvious that must be that it's not the Rabbanan, rather it's sumchas? And you see that he holds not only when there's gufa mechalakin, even when it's not, even like in the case of when you're eating two olive-sized pieces of the forbidden fats and one lapse of awareness, that you be chayv for two sets of lashes, meaning that you be chayv two chatois. And here, when you're doing it deliberately, when you're being warned, you be chayv from this one warning, two sets of lashes. Says Gemara, lo, no, it's not a raya. Laylam Rabbanan, we could actually tell you that this bris like Rabbanan. And it's talking about that, you're right, it can't be one warning, because Rabban hold even Gufa Mechalakin, you only chayv one. Rather, it's talking about that there was two warnings. And the question was, so obviously, two warnings, like we learned in that Mishnah Mesechtas Nazir and Makis, that of course you can be chayiv two lashes. Says the Gemara, but umilsa agav orche kamashmal. No, the Braisa is teaching us something novel, and that's why the Braisa was come to tell us. The ikatri gavni klein, that there are two types of forbidden mixtures, that whether you're doing a wheat grain kernel with a grape seed or a barley corn with a grape seed, that either one of those are going to be klein, and that's inherent in the case that was being described. And what's the chiddush in that? Ulafukum derbiyesha. It's coming to exclude derbiyesha. That it actually requires that the iser klein is only when you're planting all three at the same time. Damer Bisha had said, he says that actually the Isra of Klayim is only Achayizr Chita Visa'ir Vichartzin B'mapelis Yad. He says you're only violating the Isra of Kalai Yizraim of a forbidden mixture in the vineyard, only you're planting the wheat barley, the barley corn, and the wheat kernel and the barley corn and the grape seed all at one time. Kamash Malan. That's what the Bais is teaching us, that no, the Chizar Chita Vichartzin, that when you plant the wheat kernel and the grape seed, that's one violation. And then later, a separate warning, the barley corn and the grapes, you're not mechayiv, you're going to be liable for that too. But it wasn't done at the same time, it was two different times with two different warnings. Yes, that we know from the Mishnah Mesechtas Makis, that you have two, and even like the Rabban, the dispute with Simchas. But the Chiddush is that actually that each one is a separate violation, and that it's not only violated, like Rabbi Yishai said, if you have them all at one time. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya to this question that Abayat asked Rabbi Yosef, what exactly, how far does Simchas' opinion go? So Tashma, the Gemara brings a raya from the Mishnah later on, Daf Tzadik Vav Med Aleph. Mishnah says, "Ochel mizekizais umizekizais," which is describing a case where if someone eats from the two gidha noshes, the two sciatic nerves from the two thighs of one animal, he eats an olive size of one side, which the gidha noshes is forbidden to be eaten, and he eats an olive size from the other side. So Tanakhama says, "Say big shemayim," so he gets two sets of lashes. Each gidha nosha has its own iser. He says, no, in a civic element. He says, you're only going to get one set of 40 lashes, because Rabbi Huda goes according to his reasoning, as the Gemara Gid Anasha explains, that it only applies to actually one of the Gid Anashas. Only one side is the sciatic nerve that's forbidden in the Torah. So when you're eating both, you're only going to get one, because there's really only one that has that eser. So says the Gemara, Hechidami. Now, how do we explain that Mishnah? If you think it's Tomat, that it was consecutive with two different warnings, when the person is about to eat the right Gid Anasha, then the left Gid Anasha, each one was done at a separate time with a separate warning. So my time Rabbi Huda. Then why would be the reason Rabbi Huda that says that you didn't get one set of lashes? According to Rabbi Huda, actually, you shouldn't get any lashes then. Why? Because each time has to have suffoki. It's a doubtful warning. Because like we explained, according to Rabbi Huda, he's in doubt which is the one Gid Anasha that is actually forbidden. Is it the right side or the left side? As the Gemara there teaches, that Yehuda says, Hadas machras shu shel yamin. He said that the das, the intellect, would indicate that it's the right side. Now, the Gemara asks, what does he mean by that? Is it that it was obvious to him that he concluded that it was the right side that's the sciatic nerve that's forbidden? And when he says das, intellect, he means das Torah, that the Torah is defining this? Or was he actually in doubt? And what does it mean when it says das? It means das night. It means it would appear, it would seem to be. Now, from the fact that the Gemara does not resolve what exactly was he saying, that it was definitive or just that it would seem like that, from this halacha that it was resolved to him, obviously, because they still held, even with this halacha from that Mishnah, that he could still be in doubt. Then obviously, that this halacha cannot be talking about that it's being done with two different sets of warnings. Because v'shamin l'Rabbi Yehuda d'amar, because we know, again, that means to say the Gemara is still, at least from this Mishnah, still entertained that he could be in doubt, and he was just saying, das nir, it would seem to be, not that it's conclusive that way. So then, obviously this case not too much to asrais. Because v'shamin l'Rabbi Yehuda d'amar hasra sabik loishma hasra. He says, a doubtful hasra is not considered hasra. So then you should have proved, if it's two hasras, that must be that he knew definitively. That's how you get one set of lashes. Obviously, that if they were entertaining still that he was in doubt, obviously this case cannot be told about two different asuras. Because if it was two different asuras, each one then is asura asura, because you don't know at this time if this is the forbidden one or not. And how do we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds asura asura gloish masura? The time like learned the Bryce. Bryce is just talking about a situation where a woman did not wait 3 months after she got a divorce document before she got remarried. She got remarried before the required 3-month wait. and she got pregnant right away, and then she had a child. Now we don't know, or maybe she didn't get pregnant, we don't know exactly, this child that was born, is it 9 months from the first husband, or is it 7 months from the second husband? We don't know who the paternity of this child is. Now, when the child gets older, he's upset, who's his real father? Hikazeh, because of hikazeh. He hits this father, then he hits the other father. Kilazeh, because of a kilazeh, or he first curses this one, then curses the other one, which are all violations to do to a father. Or he hits both of them at the same time. Or he curses both of them at the same time. So either way of these cases, the Tanakhama says Chayiv is going to be liable because the Tanakhama holds Hasra, Safek, Shema, Hasra, a doubtful warning is considered a valid warning. And he's about to curse one of them or hit one of them, which we don't know if it's a father or not. Don't do that, he's your father. Even though we're not sure, it's going to be considered a valid Hasra. And then when he ultimately does the other one, we know for sure that he had violated. We just, at the time of the warning, we didn't know. But it's considered a valid warning. Behudam, he says no. He says, Bevas achas, if he lifted up both of his hands and he hit one and the other at the same time with his two hands, then Chayiv is going to be liable because when he's being warned, it's a definitive warning because we know he's about to hit at least one of them, that's one of them is his father. But Bezechazah Pater, if he did it one after the other, each time he was warned, it was a doubtful situation, then he's going to be Pater. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda holds Hasra, Safek Loishma Hasra. So then you can't describe that Mishnah of Tzadik Vav as being done one after the other. So what's the case of that Mishnah? So it's obvious that case talking about that when this person ate from the two Gidanushes, he was eating it at the same time, and it was with one warning. So that's a definite warning, because you know for sure, even according to Behuda, that at this time, he's going to be eating at least the one that's the Usher one. And the Tanakhama holds that you're going to get two sets of lashes, 80, because he holds that both sides are forbidden. Now, Uman Tanakhama, so who's that Tanakhama? If you think it's the Rabban of our Mishnah who disputes Simchas, that can't be. Hashtar Mahasim the Gufim Machalakin. Pat Rabbanan, if in our Mishnah we're, in a sense, like we said, it's two different entities. It's when you're doing this Eisav Es Benoi, it has its mother and it also has its daughter. And still the Rabban say you're going to be Chayiv only for one. So Achalikoshkin here, where it's not even Gufim Machalakin, it's all the same Kidanasha, isn't it all the more so for sure that they're going to say that they would have said that you're going to be Chayiv only one? So obviously it's sumchas because we don't find any other town that holds of this logic but him, and we see how far it extends that it even goes to when it's not gufa mechalakin. So that would answer Abaye's question. Says Gemara, no. Really, the halacha of that Mishnah and of Tzadik Vav is the Tanakam is Rabbanan, not even necessarily like sumchas, and because it's Tumat, it was done consecutively. And that's Hiki Bichayv, two sets of lashes. Now, if it's consecutively, we had the other question. It says, well, then how do we understand your Behuda? Behuda should hold you not chayv anything, because if it's done consecutively, we don't know which one is the right side or the left one, the forbidden one. And then Rabbi Behuda should have said that you're pater, because he holds a surah suffix loish masra. Says the Gemara, no, because of high Tana, the Tana and the Mishnah of Tzadik Vav held, Savala Kiidach Tan Rabbi Behuda. When he quoted Rabbi Behuda saying you get one set of lashes, because he holds like a different Tana in the opinion of Rabbi Behuda. The Masra, Safek Shema Hasra, whom hold that Rabbi Yehuda held that a doubtful Hasra is actually considered a valid Hasra. The time like Linda Brysa, where this is a machlek, is in Rabbi Yehuda. The Brysa quotes a pasuk in Shemais regarding karbanus, leisisir meminat baker. When you have the carbon pesach, you shouldn't leave it over until the morning. V'hanoisim meminat baker beish tesreifu, and if you left it over until the morning, then you have to burn it in the fire. Which, that's a positive commandment, what's called a lava nitik lasay. Although you violate a negative prohibition of leaving it over till the morning, the pasuk, the mitzvah sasay is ameliorating that, so you won't get lashes, which is saying that if someone left over from his karm pesach till the morning, he'll be exempt, because, okay, you shouldn't have left it over, but now there's a way to rectify this by, okay, burn that leftover meat. As the Gemara continues, the pasuk is coming to give a positive commandment after you violated the negative prohibition. Like enough to say that you won't get lashes, what's called lava nitig lasay, that's the Rabbi Yehuda. But one thing you see is because the pasuk came along and ameliorated with a positive commandment. But if not, if someone left over the meat, then we would have said he would have gotten lashes, even though at the time he's leaving it over, it's what's called asra safek. Whoever's warning him, don't leave it over, it's a doubtful warning, because every moment the guy's warning him, the guy could say, well, it's still nighttime, I didn't leave it over yet. And that morning happens in the blink of an eye, and he couldn't have gotten in that moment because he could have said, I could eat it right now. So therefore, you see, and that's the point that we're bringing out from here, that there is a version of Rabbi Yehuda who holds Hasra Sabek Shema Hasra, and that actually he would have gotten lashes, even though it's a doubtful Hasra. And the only reason why in this case not getting it is because he calls it lav and etzik lasei. And again, that resolved the Mishnah Sadei Vav, why it's not a raya for Abaye's question, because it's not talking about vas achas, it's bezachas, and still Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold you get lashes, because it's like that version of Yehuda that holds Asra Sabik Shema Asra. Now that's Rabbi Yehuda in that braisa. Rabbi Yaakov Aymer, he actually says, Loimen Hashem Huzeh. That's actually not the reason why one is exempt from leaving over meat of a Karban Pesach till the next morning. It's not because Nitig Lasei. Elim Shem Nhavali Lav Shem B'maisa. It's actually just because it's a negative prohibition that one is violating passively without an action. He's just sitting and not eating, and the violation happens by itself. Chalav Shem B'maisa, and like in love, any violation that's violated passively, one doesn't get lashes for it, and that's the reason. But again, one thing we see, and therefore not a right to the Abaye's question, is that it could be, as other Tanoim hold, Yehuda holds Asra Safik Ishma Asra.